Well, good morning. We are excited to be here with you today. We are 4/5 of the Meehan family. I'll introduce them quick. What's your name?
Riley.
This is Riley. He's just turned 6. Your name is?
Kayla.
Kayla, how old are you?
2.
She's 3. She turned 3 on Wednesday, but she is confused. And we also have a son named Gavin, who's 7.5, and he's stayed home with Grandpa this weekend. So this is my husband, Chris, and my name is Betsy. Thank you very much for having us. We're very excited to be here to talk to you about missions, specifically what we'll be doing in missions. You can tell who the missionaries' kids are. Not afraid to look silly up on stage. We are heading to Ethiopia. We are planning to leave on January 9th. We have a very small portion of our budget left to raise, about $60 a month in monthly support, or a little over $2,000 to get us through the 2 years. We'll be serving there for 2 years as missionary associates, and so we're really planning to leave. That's about 7 weeks from now. We'll get through the Christmas holidays and have about a week to frantically pack and then board a plane for 20 hours with our 3 kids and land in Ethiopia. We have sold our home in Marshfield. God sent us a phenomenal buyer for that, and so we jumped on that opportunity. We sold about 2/3 of our possessions, and we're living in a tiny little cabin in Waupaca, Wisconsin now. We are currently working on trying to figure out what to take in the 10 suitcases that the airlines will allow. There's 2 per person, so we get 10 for our family of 5. You might wonder what it is that compels a young family to do something like this, to sell their home and their possessions and really pare down to almost nothing and head to a country like Ethiopia. I can be honest with you and say my husband and I have looked at each other and wondered what compelled us to do this as well. But we know that it is God's providence that has brought us to this place in our lives today. God lays out a path for each and every person who calls on his name and believes in him, and he goes ahead of us and makes preparation for us as we try to stay on the path that he's laid out for us. Now, a lot of times he guides us silently and unnoticed through the workings of the Holy Spirit, but there are a few key moments, especially in our lives, where we really felt God guiding us one direction versus the other, and it's those moments that I'm talking about when I say the providence of God. Hopefully you've had a few moments like that in your life as well. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." It's God's providence that ensures that this scripture verse holds true for those who believe in him. Well, the providence of God in my life starts at the very beginning. I was born to 2 teenage kids who truly wanted nothing to do with me and nothing to do with one another anymore. But God had a plan for me, and so he intervened in a big way. And through the miracle of adoption, he placed me in the arms of the most amazing parents a kid could ever hope for. My parents brought me up to love God and to love other people. Now, I also grew up in a home where I had a very healthy view of adoption. I loved the fact that I was adopted. I felt special because of that. And in turn, I had a very strong desire to adopt in the future. Now, I full-heartedly believe that God made sure I grew up in a home where I would have that experience, because on the roadmap of Betsy's life, he had a pin in my future where I would adopt a child to continue to discover his plan for my life. I also grew up in a home where I was exposed to foreign missions more than most kids ever would be. My dad's been a minister all of my life, and his passion for missions is unrivaled by anyone that I have ever met. My parents made sure that I had experiences that most kids never get to have. When I was 12, they took me on a trip throughout Europe where my dad preached at youth camps in countries that don't even exist by name anymore. On that trip, I experienced things that you would perhaps normally want to shelter a 12-year-old girl from. But it was really on that trip that I saw a world outside of my own. When I was 16, my parents sent me on a trip to Romania where I witnessed with kids in orphanages, and it was really on that trip that the Holy Spirit started working on my heart and got me wondering what God might have planned for my future in a foreign land. We witnessed to these kids and we went to play with them. We brought bubbles and stickers and small toys to give out, but it didn't take long to realize that these kids really didn't want anything to do with our trinkets. What they wanted more than anything was a pat on the head or a warm embrace around the neck, because that's what they were missing in their regular life, just simple human affection. And I believe that the Holy Spirit was able to get a hold of me on that trip because I quickly realized that had I not been fortunate enough to be born in America, I could have been one of those children, unloved and unwanted. At the age of 18, I completed a 3-month assignment in Brussels, Belgium with John and Anita Koschel, witnessing to college-age students, and I've also been on a handful of trips throughout my adult years. But I can so clearly see how God lined up each and every one of these events to get me to the point where I am today, specifically going into missions in Ethiopia. Now, my husband, Chris, he was always open to adopting. I wouldn't have married him had he not been. That was my plan A for having children. God clearly had a different plan, and we ended up with our 2 boys first. But when the time came for us to adopt and to add to our family that way, we just started to pray, to sense where God would have us adopt this child from. You see, we wanted God's providence to start in her life from the very beginning as well. Well, it didn't take long to realize that God was leading us to Ethiopia. There were no other doors that were open to us, but we didn't know anything about this country. I could have told you that it was in Africa, and that was about the extent of my knowledge. So we started to research, and we started to learn, and we started to fall in love with people that we had never even met yet, and we were so excited to go. We started to wonder if maybe God would have more plans for our future in that country, but we never imagined how great his plan would turn out to be. Well, in 2009, we put in our application and we began our wait for Kayla. During that time, we had the opportunity to serve in El Salvador at King's Castle in missions. Chris and I had talked about doing foreign missions before that. I was ready to pack my bags the day we got married, but he was a little bit more hesitant. But it was really on that trip that God placed his calling on Chris's life. But I'll let him tell his own story.
Good morning. Well, after graduating from college and working in sales for about 5 years, I decided to go back to school again, this time to become a nurse. And while missions work was not yet on my radar, I knew that I wanted to help those around me, and I knew that nursing would give me the opportunity to do so. And working as a nurse for the last 3 years has been a truly rewarding experience. Now, my wife and I, we've talked about going into missions for years, but I never felt like it was my calling until my first missions trip to El Salvador back in February of 2010. While traveling back from a medical outreach one evening, I was overcome with this tremendous feeling that there was more to life than just living or even helping people heal physically. It was on that trip that I felt God's presence on my life like I've never felt at any other time in my life, and I knew that missions was something that I wanted to pursue. Now, God's providence allowed me to grow up in a home where I learned about God. I married a woman with a passion for missions that would introduce me to this calling that would ultimately become my own. Through our adoption and various overseas travels, I come to a complete feeling of peace, of just giving everything up and answering God's call to go. After our trip to El Salvador, we knew that we'd begin the process of becoming missionaries as soon as our adoption was complete. It wasn't long after our trip to El Salvador that we got a phone call that would change our lives forever. There was a little girl in Ethiopia just waiting for us. We ended up having to visit the country twice, and we'd been warned by other families that we'd fall in love with the country, but what we didn't expect was to fall so in love with the country that we couldn't imagine being anywhere else. Our hearts were in Ethiopia. You see, God had a bigger plan with us in Ethiopia than just the adoption of our daughter. His providence, I believe, led us to adopt from Ethiopia so that we would discover where he wanted us to serve. On this next slide here, you can see a first family photo here. I just want to take this opportunity to tell you a little bit about Ethiopia. Ethiopia is a hurting country in many different ways. Approximately 80% of Ethiopians live below the poverty line of just $2 a day. That's $60 a month. Half of those live on less than 50 cents a day. People don't make enough to feed or clothe themselves, let alone their families. And many people have turned to begging just to survive. Ethiopia is a hurting country and people are starving. The droughts and the famines that Ethiopia is famous for have had devastating effects on the people. Thousands of people have lost their lives simply because there's just not enough food to go around. Now, medically speaking, Ethiopia is reported to having one doctor for every 33,000 people. In the U.S., it's about one doctor for every 330 people. The average life expectancy in Ethiopia is 43 years. infant mortality is about 10%. What that means is that for every 10 babies that are born, one will die at or shortly after childbirth. There just isn't enough medical care to go around. Even if there were enough doctors, they'd most likely be located in the larger cities. Ethiopians have reportedly walk 10 hours just to catch a bus, just to take another 10-hour ride to get to a clinic or a hospital. You can imagine that few medical emergencies would be able to make this kind of a trip. HIV and AIDS are still very common throughout Ethiopia, and other things like malaria and waterborne disease are still very common as well. And basically, these are easily treatable diseases, malaria, with simple medical care. And approximately 75% of Ethiopians do not have access to clean water. In this next slide, you can see there's a big source of contamination where people will get their water to drink from. This is also the water where their animals feed, and they do their laundry as well. Well, Betsy and I, we both believe that the people of Ethiopia will be more likely to hear what we have to tell them about a Savior who loves them if we'll first serve them as the hands and feet of Jesus and just providing some of these basic physical needs that they have. While we're in Ethiopia, we'll be working with a missionary family from the U.S. that's already established. My work will involve outreach and compassion ministries with local Ethiopian Assembly of God churches. As far as we know, they've never had a full-time medical professional through the Assemblies of God in Ethiopia, and I'm excited to explore the opportunities that there are for me to serve in this country. As a nurse, not only will I be able to help people with these basic physical needs that they have, but also have the opportunity to ensure that each person I treat medically will also have the opportunity to hear about Jesus, because people are also hurting for salvation. Now, approximately half of Ethiopians consider themselves Christian. A third of the population is Muslim, which is a growing population. And the small remaining portion is made up of evangelical Christians like ourselves. And while Ethiopia is considered a Christian nation, the Orthodox Christian Church rules looks at faith, as works-based. In other words, you have to earn your way to get into heaven. Grace is completely absent from the church, and people don't know what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The cross is an important symbol. You see it throughout Ethiopia. You see it back on our table, on our shirts. But it's not the joy, unfortunately, that's found in the cross. Instead, it's heavy with this burden of having to do enough good things or work hard enough to get into heaven. A missionary told us about a man who came to a medical outreach, and the missionary handed this man a tract about the love of Jesus and salvation through grace. This man threw the tract on the ground, and he said, "Well, I don't need your Jesus because I worship Mary." You see, this is a very common response among the Orthodox Christians who are taught to worship the saints rather than to worship Jesus. People need to hear about a Jesus who loves them and wants to know them on a personal level. One way to accomplish this work is with work through the local Assemblies of God Bible College. My wife Betsy will be working in administration and providing instruction for Ethiopians who want to be pastors and take this message of a loving Savior back to their people groups. Now, there are over 80 different languages spoken in the country of Ethiopia. So the best way to spread the truth is to train up these men and women so they can then take this message back of a loving Savior back to their people groups. Well, we are excited to report there is a renaissance movement of believers who are Spirit-filled. We will have the opportunity to work with these men and women to spread the gospel. However, currently, they are not able to worship out in the open for fear of persecution by the local Orthodox Church. Well, Betsy and I are very excited to serve in Ethiopia. We long to see more people come to know a Jesus who loves them and desires to know them and has great plans for their lives.
Well, the answer to the question, why us, how did we end up at this point, really has two answers. The first is by the providence of God, he has led us to this point. And the second is that Chris and I firmly believe that God calls all believers to a life of missions. The dictionary defines the word mission as an important assignment, and missions work is just that. And when we think about missions from a Christian perspective, we understand that the goal is to take the love of Jesus out into a world that so desperately needs to know him. Personally, I can't imagine being handed a more important assignment than that. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus gives us, his church, a mission or a very important assignment. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." These verses spoken by Jesus have been dubbed the Great Commission. Commission simply means to give an order. Jesus is not offering us a lovely suggestion here or asking us to think about doing what he's asking. He is commanding us to do something. He's commanding us to go. Go and make disciples. But where are we to go? Well, according to Acts 1:8, we are to go anywhere we can go. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Well, what does that mean for everyone here on a very practical level? Our important assignment is to be a witness for Jesus. We are commanded to go to our Jerusalem, better known as the Wilson, Baldwin, Menominee area for this church body. If God is not calling you somewhere else, then this is exactly where God is calling you to be a witness for him. We're also called to go to our Judea and Samaria, the rest of Wisconsin and the United States, and to the ends of the earth. For some of you, this simply means being a witness in your neighborhood, your school, your workplace, your community. For others, it means going to a neighboring town and helping out with the talents and gifts that God has given you. For some, it might mean taking a short-term mission trip to another part of the United States to use your skills to be the hands and feet of Jesus to someone who desperately needs it. For some, it might mean taking a short-term mission trip out of the country. And for someone here, it might mean selling your home, most of your possessions, and moving to a country like Ethiopia, where people desperately need to know Jesus on a personal level. But what I want to make sure that everyone here understands today is that Jesus gave this mission to all believers. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says, "Chris and Betsy will go to Ethiopia, help them get there, and don't worry about the rest." God has commanded us all to go and make disciples. We are to be his witnesses throughout the world. Well, not only are we called to go and make disciples, but we are also called to give. In Luke 14:33, Jesus said, "In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." Everything. That's a big, scary word. Now, I don't believe that Jesus is just talking about money here. I believe he's talking about our dependence on other people, our love of money, and our need to collect stuff. Who here would be honest and say they have too much stuff? We got rid of 2/3, and I still have too much stuff. This is an American thing. We just love to collect more and more and more. But the problem with that is that if we are slaves to these things, then we're not truly free to follow Jesus wherever he leads us. Jesus has to be our number one priority. And once we have made him that, then we are free to follow him wherever he leads us and to accomplish whatever it is that he tasks us with. We can then give a great testimony to those around us of what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And while we're not asked to give only of our money, we're definitely asked to give of that too. And if we are obedient to this command, God promises that we will be blessed. According to 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 8, we are to remember this: "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." You can use the word "sow" and "give" interchangeably here. In other words, if you are willing to give generously, you will also reap generously. No, I'm not here to promise you that that means if you give generously today that you'll go home and find $10,000 in your mailbox. That is not always the way that God chooses to work. But I believe that this verse is telling us that if we are willing to give generously to the Lord, then the harvest will be generous. Does anyone here remember the Raybolt song from the late 80s? It was titled Thank You. The chorus went, "Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed." It is a sappy song. If you are a Sunday school teacher, it should bring a tear to your eye. But I believe the point of that chorus and the point of this verse are identical. If we are willing to give generously to the Lord, then lives will be changed. We may never hear about it this side of heaven, but I hope that when I get there, there is a long line of people waiting to tell me how my life in some indirect way impacted them, and so they're now in the kingdom of heaven forever because of that. After all, isn't that the point? Aren't we here to take as many people with us as is humanly possible? Well, the next verse in 2 Corinthians goes on to say, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." God doesn't want us to give out of obligation or simply because Betsy says so. He wants us to give out of joy. He asks us to search our hearts and look to His guidance for what we are to give individually. And if we follow His command to give, and we give cheerfully, verse 8 promises that God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God asks us to give, not begrudgingly or simply because of the promise of reward, but also because it takes more than just a willingness to go to the ends of the earth to spread the gospel. God partners those who are called and willing to go with those who are called and willing to give, to take the gospel further than any person could take it themselves. Thank you for being a church that gives to missions. If you continue to follow God's command in this area, you will continue to be blessed in your efforts in this community. Lastly, we all need to be committed to pray. Prayer is a powerful tool. And when you pray for people who have yet to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you will see doors open. And when you commit to pray for a missionary and their family, your prayer is an invaluable support. I have heard countless stories from missionaries throughout the years who felt the prayers of people from all over the world lifting them up at a critical time in their ministry. Missionaries rely on your prayers for their ministries, for those that they are witnessing to, and for their families as they adjust to living in a home away from home. We will be counting on the prayers of this church body as we continue to prepare to head to Ethiopia and as we adjust to life there and just hit the ground running with the vision that God has given us for this country. And knowing that people are praying for us back home brings us such great comfort. But what else do we need to pray for? There are so many people in the world who have yet to even hear the salvation message. And if that were not true, Jesus would have come back. So we know that there are those who have yet to hear the message. But there are still not enough people to go and share the good news with them. Matthew 9:37 through 38 tells us that the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask Him to send more workers into His fields. Specifically, we are asked to pray for more workers. God tells us that people are ready to accept the truth, but simple logic tells us that they have to hear about it from someone first. We've been traveling throughout the state of Wisconsin for about 12 months now, and we've asked about 70 churches to pray with us that more workers would be called out of this area and into the rest of the world. Specifically, we've asked for more workers to be called to Ethiopia because that's really where our hearts are right now. And I can tell you that God has already answered this prayer in a huge way, beyond our imagination. 3 years ago, there was a family called out of Michigan to be missionaries in Ethiopia. There had been no Assemblies of God missionaries there for about 20 years before them. They went alone and they set up their life and they came home and did their 1 year home. While they were home, we called them and said, we feel called to Ethiopia. Is there work for us to do? Another family out of Ohio called, a family out of Minnesota, a family out of Missouri. We are now going back 7 or 8 families strong as a team to reach this country. So God has a great plan, and we are so excited to be a part of it. But there are still not enough men and women willing to take this message to other parts of the world. So we need to pray for more workers to understand their calling. And if we pray, God will answer. Matthew 21:22 tells us, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Today, I am asking you to believe with me that if we ask God to send more workers and we ask God to prepare the hearts of those who have yet to hear about him, that people will come to know Christ in a personal and life-changing way throughout the world. Today, can you commit to go, to give, and to pray? Praying only takes a few moments of your time. You can do it on your drive to work or as your head hits the pillow each night. If you have children, pray with your children. One of the greatest life lessons you can teach them is to how to sacrificially pray for other people. If you pray, God will answer. This world is a hurting place, and the simplest thing that we can do is to pray for those who are hurting and who have yet to accept the love of Jesus. Please pray that many men and women would be called out of Ethiopia to be missionaries to their own country. I'm a smart girl, but there is no way that I can learn over 80 languages. The most effective and efficient way to spread the gospel throughout this country is to train up men and women from the country who can then go and plant churches in their own native tongue. There are also countries bordering Ethiopia that are strictly Muslim countries that we could never gain access to as missionaries. But Ethiopians, because of their nationality, are able to travel freely into these countries and could preach the gospel and take missions where we could never dream of going with any amount of safety. So please pray that many men and women would come and want to be trained during our time in Ethiopia. Please also pray that many individuals would come to the medical outreaches so they could hear the salvation message while in Ethiopia. We are excited to work there, and we are excited to see lives change. We know that God has a great plan. How about giving? Are you already committed to giving to missions above and beyond your regular tithe? Have you already given up the things that hold you back from following Jesus Christ with your whole life? When you do, I can promise you that it will bring greater comfort than any earthly possession could ever bring you. When we sold 2/3 of our items, it freed us completely and lightened the load, and we don't miss any of it. We are excited to follow where God is leading us, and we know that he will provide for all of our needs. Are you committed to go? Are you already acting as a witness for Jesus in your community, your school, your neighborhood, your workplace? Are you willing to give of your time to be the hands and feet of Jesus to someone who has yet to meet him? Are you willing to move beyond your comfort zone to share the good news of a Savior who loves each and every person just as they are? God asks us all to serve in missions. You are not excluded from this important assignment. Chris and I firmly believe that if there is no one willing to reach out to this community, then we have no business going to Ethiopia. This would need to be our mission field. We need to know that we can leave this community in your very capable hands. And if you are already serving and you already understand where God is calling you to serve, we would love to hear from you. Hearing from other missionaries is so uplifting to us as we continue on our journey.
Well, in closing, we just want to thank you once again for welcoming us, for hearing our hearts, and being willing to partner with us. We would not be able to follow this calling without your support. And while God does not ask each and every one of us to pack our lives into a few suitcases, he could call any one of you to do so. And I pray if he is calling you, that you would respond with an eagerness to follow his command. But we can't all go overseas. This community is a mission field that that needs believers who are not ashamed of their faith. Cities like Milwaukee need Christians to come and be the hands and feet of Jesus to those that don't know the love of a Savior and can supply all of their needs. And if God is not calling you to the ends of the earth, your mission field is just as important. And please don't forget the power of giving and the power of prayer. Our challenge to you today is this. Please go home and think further about where you're called to go, what you're called to give, and who you're called to pray for. Commit to doing all these three things, and God will move mountains. Don't neglect the providence of God in your lives either. If you feel him leading, please be willing to follow. His path will bring you the most blessing. A friend recently asked my wife and I about what our fears were on our journey to Ethiopia. We both thought about the question for a little bit, and we looked at each other and we said, well, none. We don't have any fears. We know that God is leading the way, and we're relying on him for support. We're also relying on the support of our fellow believers. Mostly, we covet your prayers. We don't expect this to be an easy road, but knowing that we have a great body of believers back home lifting us up and supporting us will bring us great comfort. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day where we could come together to worship you and learn more about you. You're amazing, Lord. Thank you for the peace that comes in following your plans, for your providence that guides us, and for the blessings that you'll readily give us if we just follow your commands. Today we ask, Lord, that you'd bring up more workers for the fields of people who are ready to hear about you. Lord, we do not wish that any one person should perish without first knowing you. If there's anyone, Lord, in this room that you're calling to a life of missions, Lord, we pray that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the feeling, the nudge, the push they feel is from you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for sharing your heart with us today. Their little girl is real special. We had the opportunity to take them out to eat last night, and I could see why, if all the Ethiopian children are like her, your heart would be captured immediately. So praise God. Well, let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for those that have come and for the missionary family, the Meehan family, and Lord, for sharing their heart with us this morning. And Lord, just ask that you would continue to bless and send them on their way, and that they would reap a harvest of souls in Ethiopia for you. And just continue to watch over them as they travel so much while they are itinerating. And Lord, we also ask that you would just go with us now, Lord. May we feel your presence very strongly throughout the day and this week. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.